So God is good all the time, right?
Yes.
All the time, God is good. And we're so grateful to our worship team for their ministry to us this morning. That was just awesome. Let's give God some glory for that time of worship. This morning, we're continuing a three-week series, and we're focusing on 2 Timothy chapter 1 and the first 14 verses. And this morning, in the second part, we're going to look at just three verses, verses 7 through 9. And I would invite you to follow along as we continue this opening part of the letter from the Apostle Paul to his child in faith, Timothy. God didn't give us a spirit that is timid, but one that is powerful, loving, and self-controlled. So don't be ashamed of the testimony about the Lord or of me, his prisoner. Instead, share the suffering for the good news, depending on God's power. God is the one who saved and called us with a holy calling. This wasn't based on what we had done, but it was based on his own purpose and grace that he gave us in Christ Jesus before time began. This morning I have a confession to make. And after I tell you what my confession is, please feel free to just tell everyone you know. I was a church kid. That's my confession. I was a church kid. From the crib toddler room, through the children's department, all the way through high school, I was a church kid. Every Sunday, I sat with my family in the fourth row of the sanctuary at Grace Church in Carlisle, and I'm sure that my parents were sitting there in worship this morning. If you visit the Carlisle United Methodist Church, don't try to sit in the fourth row, because my mom will give you the look. And then she'll invite you to come and sit with her and worship together. I'm a church kid. Perfect attendance in Sunday school. When I was a teenager, my best friends were the friends in the youth group. We did everything together. Some of them are still my friends today. And when I went to college, I just kept right on being a church kid. I got involved in the Christian Fellowship on campus. I went to a little church there every Sunday. In fact, at 19 years old, one of those local churches invited me to be their director of youth ministry. And so I started serving there. I can't remember a time when church was not part of my life. I'm a church kid, and I know that there are more than a few church kids in this room today. Timothy, who got this letter from the Apostle Paul, was a church kid. A typical church kid for the time. And here in the opening part of this letter, we discover some things about the environment in which Timothy grew up. And church kids like Timothy had a blessed upbringing. In the verses that we looked at last Sunday, we learned some things about Timothy's upbringing. Timothy had been blessed in at least three ways. First of all, God used a mentor to show him love. God used a mentor to show him love. In verse 2, as Paul writes, he addresses this letter to Timothy, "My dear child." Now, Paul was not actually Timothy's dad, but he was his spiritual father. When we first meet Timothy back in the 16th chapter of Acts, we're told that he was a teenager, that he was the son of a believing mother, and that his spiritual upbringing was strong. So much so that in Acts 16:2, it says that he was well spoken of. And when Paul came through Lystra, He saw this promising young church kid, and he took him under his wing. And he took him then on some missionary journeys. And Paul loves Timothy. Loves Timothy like a son. And then later on in Acts, Paul leaves this young church kid in a place called Ephesus with a special task to be the pastor there. And sometime later, Paul is locked up in Rome. He's got a death penalty hanging over his head, and he writes this passionate letter to Timothy, "My dear child." And then in verse 4, he writes, "I long to see you, that I may be filled with happiness." God used Paul to show his love to Timothy. Such a blessing for Timothy growing up. And most of us that grew up as church kids can name a person, or maybe several people, who were as mentors to us in the faith. And it's a blessing. The second condition of Timothy's environment growing up is that God actually used more than Paul. God actually used a faithful line of people to raise up Timothy in the faith. God used an entire congregation to show him that he was part of something bigger than himself. In verse 3, Paul says, "I'm grateful to God, whom I serve with a good conscience as my ancestors did." Paul is saying that he stands in a line with other people of faith, having received the faith from his ancestors, now passing it on in good conscience to Timothy. I brought a couple of books with me to church this morning that are very special to me. The first is this. My congregation gave me this Bible when I was promoted to the first grade in Sunday school. It was just a few years ago, 1963. And at age 5, all of us church kids were given Bibles so that as we were learning to read, we would also learn to read the Word of God. And for me, this Bible represents the commitment of the church I grew up in, that I would not just learn to read, but that I would come to know the Lord Jesus. And then I also brought with me this second thing that's important to me. This is a hymnal of the Evangelical United Brother Church. And when I was a child, like many church kids, I sang in the choir from elementary school all the way up. And at our church, when you served in the children's choir for 4 years, they gave you a hymnal. And they did this because for them, worship was such a vital part of the life of a disciple of Jesus. And they wanted me to join in the praising God and singing to deepen my fellowship with the Lord Jesus. And so they gave me this hymnal. Now, I still treasure the Bible and the hymnal because they remind me of that faithful line of people at Grace Church in Carlisle that passed on the good news of Jesus Christ to me. They didn't want me just to learn the scripture, just to know the hymns of the church. They wanted me to know Jesus and to become part of his body so that I might pass it on to those who come after me. As church kids, we learn that we're part of something bigger than ourselves. And someone passed it on to us, and we're called to pass it on to the next generation. Timothy had a mentor who showed him love, and Timothy had an entire line of people who helped him to see that he was part of something bigger. And then there was a third thing we discovered in these verses about Timothy, that God used a family to show him an example of sincere faith. In verse 5 that we looked at last week, Paul says, "I'm reminded of your authentic faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois
and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that that faith is also inside of you.
Now, I'm so grateful that, like Timothy, I had a family that showed me an example of sincere faith. You know, it's such a blessing for a child to witness sincere faith, not just from a mentor, not just from a congregation, but when they're witnessing that amid the bumps and the joys of day-to-day life in their home. Not every church kid gets that, but most of us do. Most of us have at least one parent or one influence where we've been able to see an example of what it looks like to follow Jesus in this world. Now, what was the result for Timothy of his wonderful upbringing? Well, we know when we read these letters that Timothy became a pastor, right? I mean, here's the perfect formula for raising a kid. Find them a mentor, get them connected with a loving congregation, set them an example of sincere faith, and you get a good Christian kid out of that. You might even get a pastor out of that. Church kids have such a blessed upbringing. I mean, wouldn't it be great if every child in this community could be a church kid? But here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, as Paul is writing this heartfelt letter to his young friend, we're not too far into it. Before Paul is writing, Timothy, revive God's gift that is in you. And when we read that, we're wondering, why does Paul have to encourage Timothy to revive God's gift? He's a church kid. Doesn't he already have it? Well, as we read this letter, we discover that even though Timothy had such a wonderfully blessed upbringing, he struggled to keep the faith. Church kids, like Timothy, can have a crisis of faith. We see here something of what that looked like in Timothy's life. For one thing, it seems that as Paul writes to him, Timothy is uncertain of his faith. Last Sunday, we talked about the difference between the way the Apostle Paul came to Jesus and the way Timothy did. Paul was a persecutor of Christians, and he had this clear and unmistakable, dramatic encounter with the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. His life was turned around completely. And after a number of years of preparation, the Apostle Paul trailblazes the growth of the church. The greatest apostle ever, he's remembered. What an awesome testimony. Now compare that to Timothy. Timothy, who grew up with grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, who took him to Sunday school. And then Paul comes along and takes him under his wing, and eventually he becomes a pastor. Not a very exciting testimony. Paul has this dramatic turnaround from darkness into light, but Timothy grew up and he sees a lot of light, and a lot of light, and a lot of light. Not much drama. Now, if you're a church kid, you might have thought about this. You never had that big dramatic experience. And as you think about the big dramatic experiences that other people have, it can sow some seeds of doubt in you. Am I really there where I need to be with Jesus?
The second thing we pick up about Timothy is that he's unprepared for the real world. You know, Timothy's the pastor of this church in Ephesus, and all of a sudden he's facing opposition from both inside the church and outside the church. And he looks back at his life, and he must be thinking, man, there is nothing in my experience to help me deal with this. And this happens to church kids like us, too. We church kids can be so sheltered that when we get out into the real world, when we face challenges and temptations in the real world, we can feel like we're just not equipped to handle them. When I was serving up in Center Hall near State College, I was having a rehearsal one Saturday morning with the confirmation class. The following day, this group was going to be joining the church, and it was kind of a rambunctious group. And so the rehearsal the day before, I told them that I was going to read through their names, including their silly middle names, and if they could get all the way through the list without laughing, then I would tell them my middle name, which none of them at that point knew. So they got through the list just as sober as could be. And I told them my middle name, and the one kid said, "You mean Raphael, like the Ninja Turtle?" And I said, "No, it's spelled like that, but in my family it's pronounced Raphael, which is the proper way to pronounce it." Well, Sunday came the next day, and Shelley from the group was going to share a little testimony with the congregation. And when she was speaking, she said, "Our class would like to thank our teenage mutant Pastor Denny, who lives in a church shell. Preacher power." And you know, it was a lot of fun, but after thinking about that later, and I thought, wow, we church kids, we grow up in a church shell, safe and secure, and sometimes challenges come our way and temptations come our way, and we're just not ready. Just not ready to meet them. So Timothy was having doubts. Timothy was facing challenges. And then, and I think this is really big, Timothy's crisis was a struggle with the expectations that are often placed on church kids that we will do. Timothy has been given great gifts. And here he is in Ephesus. And he's been called to use those gifts in a way that will help that church to address their issues and make disciples for Jesus. There is great expectation on Timothy that he won't mess up. And this is the same thing that we feel as church kids. We grow up feeling this expectation, like, I can't do this, and I can't do that. I don't want to disappoint people. Church kids are expected to be good, to do well. And there's a lot of pressure in that. And we all know that there are some church kids, kids who are uncertain of their faith, unprepared for the real world, tired of the pressure of the expectations, that when it's up to them, they just choose to step away from the church. Kids that used to be active in the church as young adults turn away. And then there are other church kids who stay in the church, but they never really come to a faith of their own. Church is something you do because you're supposed to do it, and mom is especially happy if you show up on Mother's Day. Or church kids will say, "Well, my parents took me to church, so I'm taking my kids to church, but I'm really not all that into it," they say. Timothy is struggling here with a crisis of faith. And those of us who are church kids, we know those struggles. Now, let's read Paul's word to Timothy at the end of verse 6 and verse 7 together. Let's read this verse together. Revive God's gift that is in you through the laying on of my hands. God didn't give us a spirit that is timid, but one that is powerful, loving, and self-controlled. Paul says, Timothy, fan in the flame. God didn't make you to be timid. God gave you power and love and self-discipline so that you could be a force for good in this world. Timothy, God gave you this wonderful upbringing, bestowed these gifts upon you so that you can bring glory to his name. But it's up to you, Timothy. It's up to you. Revive the gift. Fan the flame. This is true. What Paul said to Timothy is true for those of us who are church kids, too. We have this little spark inside of us, this God-given potential to do amazing things, but we need to give it some oxygen so that we might burn bright. This is the calling of our lives, church kids, to take what God has started in us, the spark, and to fan it into flame. Now, as we look at verse 8, and this is for you, whether you've been a church kid or maybe it's only recently in your life that you came into the church. As we look at verse 8, I want to ask you this question. Have you come to a faith of your own? Is the flame of that faith burning? You see, as it says there in the notes, when your faith is borrowed, when you're just carrying on a family heritage to meet the expectations of those who've gone before you, when your faith is borrowed, and you've never really claimed a faith of your own, there's a couple things that happen. The first thing to go is your witness. The last thing in the world you want to do is share your faith with somebody else. I mean, it takes courage to do that today. And this is what Paul said in the first part of verse 8. He said, Timothy, don't be ashamed by the testimony about the Lord. If you claim a faith of your own, share it with others. When you're living a borrowed faith, the second thing to go is your association with other Christians. Paul says to Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony about the Lord, and don't be ashamed of me, prisoner for the Lord. And then the third thing to go is your desire not to be disturbed by anything for the sake of the gospel. In other words, this gospel, it's not really going to make any difference in my life. I'm just going to live like everybody else. And no one would suspect that I'm a church kid. That's why Paul says at the end of verse 8, instead, share the suffering for the good news, depending on God's power. Friends, like the Apostle Paul, this morning I am calling on you to be bold. Let your flame burn brightly so that all can see it. If you let your faith burn brightly, people won't look at you and say, oh, just a church kid. People will say, She's a person of truth. Courage to burn bright for Jesus in this world, to share your love for Jesus with others, to associate with other believers and be proud of it. It takes courage to get your priorities in order and to put Jesus first, even if it means letting go of some other things. It takes courage. And where does that courage come from? Well, Paul tells us here that courage comes from conviction. Are you convinced? Are you convinced? Do you believe that what Paul says here in verse 9 is true for you? God is the one who saved and called us with a holy call. This wasn't based on what we had done, but it was based on His own purpose and grace that He gave us in Christ Jesus before time began. Church kids, do you believe that you're not just a church kid, but you're a child of God? You know, it is said that God doesn't have any grandchildren. Just because your parents or your grandparents knew and loved Jesus and were burning bright for Him doesn't mean that that just immediately transfers onto you because you're related to them. He gave up His precious Son for you. For you! Are you convinced of that? Because the courage to fan the flame of God's gift comes from having that. I'm going to invite our worship team to come to the front, and as they do, hear again what Paul says to Timothy, what Paul says to every one of us today. See the blessing that God has bestowed upon you. It's all waiting for you to be convinced. Be convinced of the love that Jesus has for you. As I was reading these verses, I got to thinking of a prayer that each and every one of us might pray as we get up in the morning and get ready to make it a new day. My daily prayer. Lord, start a fire. Let me this day burn bright. Burn bright for Jesus. Because I live in a world of people who so badly need a Savior. Who so badly need a relationship with the Lord Jesus. Amazing grace extends to us all. Lord, start a fire in me.